Good morning and welcome to our St Nicholas Church Facebook service on Sunday the 25th July. And as many of you know, we are meeting now online for the next 5 weeks at 10 o'clock here on Facebook and then at 10:30 on Zoom. Please do contact us if you would like login details for that Zoom meeting. And this is because of some scheduled building works that are taking place. So our next service in church will be on Sunday the 29th of August. And we look forward to seeing as many of you as possible back in the building then. Well, our reading today is from John chapter 6, verses 1 to 21. Some time after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him, because they saw the signs he had performed by healing those who were ill. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus had performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A wise preacher once said that when preparing a sermon, any preacher should have the Bible and a copy of today's newspaper in front of him. So as I was preparing for this morning, I thought I'd better have a look at, well, I don't have a newspaper to hand, but I had the BBC News website to hand. So I had a look. And perhaps unsurprisingly, in this week when lockdown restrictions have eased even further, The pandemic continues to dominate our headlines, and I just looked over at a few of the headlines and statistics were coming up on this BBC News website. Statistics like the fact that there are apparently 1 million pupils out of school in the UK at the moment due to COVID-19. It was talking about different holiday destinations, focusing on Mallorca, where there are apparently 534 infections per 100,000 people. And then perhaps more worrying, looking at the wider picture across Europe, it was saying that there are 1 million new cases of COVID-19 every 8 days across Europe. And then beyond that, beyond these kind of harsh statistics, there just seemed to be confusion amongst different government ministers. Even 2 ministers within the same party seem to be saying different things. And as I was reading all this, I was kind of reminded why, you know, I've sometimes given the news a break recently, or why I've felt like I can't really be looking at these news websites. And one big reason is that, you know, I don't know about you, but as I read all these statistics, there's a sense of anxiety that comes to mind. And it almost seems to be the natural response to the kind of daily news is anxiety. And as I think about our reading today, I feel actually I've been reminded that the Bible has so much to say to us about anxiety. And I think in our reading today, we see two types of anxiety, but we also see two ways that God answers. So we see two types of anxiety, but two ways that God answers. And in the first part of our reading, we see a particular kind of anxiety. And this is one that I'm sure this crowd of 5,000, it says 5,000 men, so we think there were probably about 15,000 people, you know, presuming that there were also women and children there. And I'm sure as this day was going on, where this crowd of 5,000 are gathered around Jesus, there would have been a bit of anxiety in the crowd about what they were going to eat that day. Obviously not enough to drive them away. I think they were so keen to hear what Jesus was going to say or to see what he would do next that obviously they wanted to stay there. But just the kind of anxiety that would affect any of us if we hadn't eaten for quite a long while. And my guess is that most of them had resigned themselves to the fact that they just weren't going to have lunch that day. And I imagine that anxiety would have been vocalised much more loudly by the children in the crowd, but surely it would have even been felt by the adults there. And that relates to probably a slightly different anxiety, which is the anxiety that I'm sure Philip experienced when Jesus turns to him in verse 5 and says, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" And Philip at that point must have thought, I have no idea. And there would have been this anxiety to somehow come up with a solution to this impossible problem that was presented to him. As he says, it would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. And I was thinking, you know, if there's a crowd of 15,000 people today, even if, you know, we were wanting to get them, say, a Greg's meal, something simple, perhaps one of those supermarket meal deals, it would also cost, you know, at least half a year's wages, if not more. So there's an anxiety there felt by Philip, and I'm sure then felt by the other disciples of how they're going to meet this problem. But then later in the passage, we find a different kind of anxiety. And this is the disciples as they're in a boat. They're on the lake, a storm has started, I'm sure the waves were rising, the wind was howling. And in the midst of that, they see Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water. And it says, "And they were frightened." So this isn't that kind of slightly gnawing anxiety of, "Nay, I haven't eaten for a while, I'm not maybe going to eat lunch today," that was felt by the crowd. This wasn't the slightly sharper anxiety perhaps felt by Philip when asked how they were going to provide food for the crowd. This was fear. It says they were frightened. In those days, I mean, just as now really, they would have been incredibly aware of the power of water, of the power of waves, of a storm. They would have been frightened of a storm, I'm sure, but obviously then even more frightened of someone who appears to be more powerful than the storm, and that is Jesus himself. So we see there different kinds of anxiety in our reading. But then we see, I believe, two answers to prayer and two different ways that God answers our prayer. And the first way is that God meets us in our troubles. And that's the way that the prayer is answered for this crowd of 15,000. And I believe we see here in this story a God who comes to us in the midst of our circumstances, a God who takes the everyday items in our hands, in this case, 5 loaves of bread and 2 pieces of fish, the God who comes to us in the everyday and then asks us to take a step of faith, just as Jesus asked the disciples to begin to distribute the food, to take a step of faith with these everyday items that I'm sure seemed incredibly insufficient. The way God answers prayer, by meeting us in our troubles, stepping into the everyday, but then totally transforming our circumstances. As we see here, Jesus supernaturally changes the situation, and with one miracle he makes the anxiety of the crowd, the anxiety of Philip, the anxiety of the disciples for food and to do with food suddenly irrelevant. That anxiety, I'm sure, disappeared in that moment. This is an example of God being with us, the God who dwells with us, who meets us in our circumstances. But then there's a second kind of answer to prayer, and that is Jesus walking over the waves towards the frightened disciples, scared out of their lives, I'm sure, and then just coming to sit in the boat with them. And I'm sure equally, as he did that, as he came and sat with them, saying, "It is I, don't be afraid," I'm sure their anxiety subsided. I'm sure their fears disappeared. But this isn't Jesus using kind of everyday items like bread and fish and meeting them in the everyday. This seems to me to be Jesus literally walking over the troubles, walking over the waves. Jesus executing a completely supernatural intervention. Jesus stepping across unaided. He has no need of any help from the disciples or from anyone around him. He steps across the water. And there, I believe there is a theological term for this kind of thing, quite a long word, which is the word transcendent. And I think this is an example of Jesus being transcendent. And that word is an old Latin word. It literally means to climb over. And, you know, I can think of no more accurate description than what Jesus does here. He's kind of climbing over the waves. And he comes to meet them. Their anxiety ends. But this is a totally supernatural intervention this time. And, you know, as we're thinking about this reading, as we're thinking perhaps about our own anxieties, and that may be to do with things we see on the news in our nation, in Europe or around the world, that may be simply to do with things in our own personal lives and our families and our households. Let's remember the different ways that God answers prayer. And, you know, I believe that one way is that he comes to meet us in the everyday. He uses ordinary, everyday objects, circumstances, but he does things that are unexpected. I believe he does the miraculous. And I was thinking, you know, of one example of this, and it's not at all on the scale of a feeding of 5,000, but the other day I was just thinking about a man, an elderly gentleman who lives in our parish, and a couple of months ago I took the funeral of his wife. And it was a great privilege to do so. And I was just thinking about him, and I was thinking, I'd love to give him a call just to see how he's doing. And so, and you know, you sometimes get these thoughts in your head, and then as you're thinking about it, you're thinking, actually, maybe this isn't just my thought. Maybe this is God prompting me to do this, to speak to that person or to ring that person. So I picked up my phone, I gave him a call, and I said who I was. And he just sounded so surprised. He said to me, "I can't believe that." And he said to me, "I've got a piece of paper here with your number on it, Stephen. And I was literally about to ring you. And I was about to make contact with you." And it just felt to me like in that moment, God had brought the two of us together. And I guess I just was glad that I'd responded to that sort of prompting I'd felt to ring him. But, you know, it was all ordinary things. It was just me picking up my phone. It was this person at the other end, with a bit of paper in front of his phone. There would have seemed nothing particularly, I don't think, supernatural about that. But I do think sometimes God gives us those promptings, or God asks us to step out just in the everyday, in the ordinary. And maybe over the coming weeks, we can be just looking out for that, you know. Okay, God might not be asking us to feed 5,000 people, but is he just asking us to respond to those little promptings he gives us in the everyday, in the ordinary, with things that we come across in our normal lives? But let's also remember that God is the transcendent God. He is the one who is supreme over the waves, over the wind, over the storm. As we've been thinking about this story of Jesus over the storm. And I feel that's an important reminder in these times when there's so much anxiety around us. And there is a kind of storm going on, isn't there? There's that storm of the news, really, the storm of the statistics that are thrown at us every day, the storm of the conflicts between politicians who don't seem to be able to agree, you know, in how to manage this situation. And I feel one way that this really encourages us is just a reminder that Jesus is Lord over the storm. And let's continue to believe that he is Lord, he is transcendent. And beyond that, you know, I believe that Jesus continues to be the God of the miraculous today, that he continues to be a God who provides in miraculous ways, who meets us in supernatural ways, in the kind of ways that some of us who've been doing this Holy Spirit course over the last couple of months have been hearing about. So when we pray, let's remember that God can answer above and beyond all we expect. But let's remember that as well as meeting us in the everyday, he is the God over the storm. He is the God who brings peace, even when there seems to be waves around us. And let's, like the disciples, remember that when he meets us in the storm, to invite him into the boat. And I read a lovely quote, someone writing about this passage, and, you know, apply it to our lives, and I guess to the storms we experience in our lives. And this person said this: if we are ready to take Jesus on board, we may find ourselves sooner than expected at the harbour where we will be calm and secure once more. So in these times of anxiety, let's remember that our God is a God who answers prayer. Amen.